In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight we begin our Lenten series on the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. If you'd like to follow along with that text, you can open your pew Bible to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We begin with our Lord's words to the church in Ephesus. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Thus far the words of our Lord Jesus. He is resurrected, living, aware of every detail that goes on in his congregations. This is Jesus as we are not accustomed to seeing him. He reveals himself not in lowliness and humility, but as Lord of the universe and Lord of the church. Through John, he sends seven letters to seven churches, but in truth, his words apply to the whole church of every time and place. The Lord instructs John to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. It's most likely the case that Jesus is speaking of a real angel, an angel that God has assigned to the church of Ephesus. When we joke that the angels provide security here at Faith, perhaps it isn't all that far from the truth. It may well be that there was an angel protecting the congregation in Ephesus. Angels assigned to the other six congregations as well. The congregation of Ephesus was founded by St. Paul and pastored for many years by John. The Lord introduces himself and his letter in this way, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Earlier, he explained to John exactly what this means. The seven stars in his right hand, he says, are the seven angels. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. The Lord Jesus has his angels in his hand, and he walks in the midst of the seven lampstands. He walks in the midst of his congregations. Not far off in heaven, looking down. Certainly not waiting for our prayers to tell him how things are going. Jesus walks in the midst of the lampstands, which means he walks in the midst of this congregation, in the midst of faith. If only we remembered this before we opened our lips to gossip about a congregational leader, or grumble about how the church is being run. The Lord sees it all, from the smallest slight of one Christian to another, to the total loss of love, the Lord sees it all. If someone has sinned, you need to speak to that person directly about it. But griping and scheming, moping and playing the victim, showing up late or not showing up at all, withholding offering, and all the other aggressive and passive-aggressive nonsense we sinners pull, not one bit of it escapes the eye of the one who walks in the midst of his congregation. The one to whom you, the one to whom we must all give an account. Repent. For as you will see in a moment, the Lord is swift to bring retribution. David himself cried, and we cried with him as we prayed the intro, it, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit away from me." Because all the Lord has to do is cast us away from his presence, and it doesn't matter which church you sit in, the Lord will not be present for you. All the Lord has to do is remove his Holy Spirit. And that man may still think himself to be a wonderful Christian right up until the Lord says to him, "I knew you not," and eternal darkness swallows him. Repent, for the Lord is the Lord of his church. He will punish. He will remove his lampstand unless you repent. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all, from every unrighteousness. But impenitence he will not abide, nor will he compromise with your sin. But if you acknowledge your sin and confess your sin to him, he will wash it away by the power of his atoning blood. He will draw out from you fruits worthy of repentance. He will restore you. In fact, he will restore to you the joy of your salvation. This is what Ash Wednesday, what Lent is all about. Coming to terms, not with abstract sin that everyone and no one has, but with nameable, confessable sins whereby you have offended Jesus. Wherefore you need Jesus' absolution to receive his words of pardon and grace into your ears, to receive his cup to your lips, so that you might be cleansed by his blood of all your sin, a real cleansing. The resurrected and living Lord Jesus calls you this night to repent, but he also encourages you. He says to the church in Ephesus and to us, "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary." These things the Lord commends, your good works and your toil. It's not been done in vain. Your efforts, your works are not meaningless. The Lord is near to his church, and he knows the good that you have done. He knows that it hasn't been easy. He knows of your patient endurance. So take comfort and be encouraged. Your sacrifices, sweat, and tears may go unnoticed by others, but they do not go unnoticed by our Lord. He cleanses you and your works, every one of them. He takes your life into his life, your work into his work, and fills your life and work with eternal meaning and eternal blessing. The Lord also commends his church that it cannot bear with those who are evil, that attests false teachers and rejects them. Many people today think that Jesus is tolerant of diverse teachings inside and outside of his church. He tells us himself that he is not. He commends his church instead for rejecting all false teaching and all false teachers. And he commends his church for its labors of love. These two things go together. But he says, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. That Jesus would remove your lampstand from its place, that Jesus would cast a sinner from his presence or take away his Holy Spirit, these thoughts seem alien to the Jesus we think we know so well. Do we really know him so well? The Jesus of Scripture is very clear. Repentance is not an option. The church that does not repent will have its lampstand removed by Jesus himself. The Christian that does not repent is no Christian at all and will be cast away from Jesus' presence. Have you abandoned the love that you had at first? John tells us that we love because God first loved us. Have you let God's love have its way with you? Have you valued and treasured worldly things more than you have valued and treasured God's preached word and God's life-giving sacraments? Has your love for others failed? Repent, our Lord says, and you will be forgiven. After all, this is why our Lord Jesus calls you to repentance, so that he might forgive you and fill you with the love that you had at first. He will make you new again and fill you with love and life and light. But the Lord Jesus also wants to fill you with hate. With hate? Hatred of your own sin? Hatred of evil? Hatred of false doctrine within the church and hatred of religions that lead men to eternal death? As the Lord says to the church in Ephesus, yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans. And get this, which I also hate. Jesus hates. Lord, teach us to hate, even as you hate. Our Lord concludes his letter with these words. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Note that what the Spirit says, he says to the churches, plural, even to this church, to you and to me. The Lord makes a promise that the one who conquers will eat of the tree of life. How do you conquer? Later in Revelation, John will say that you conquer through the blood of the Lamb. God's Lamb gave his life for you on the cross, shedding his holy blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, you are forgiven. You conquer sin, death, and the devil by Jesus' blood. And the Lord Jesus can promise you that you will eat of the tree of life because he has taken for you the tree of death. If you recall, God took the tree of life from Adam and Eve for a specific reason. He did not want us to live forever in our state of sin. And now that the Lord Jesus has taken away all your sin by his blood and by his absolution, the fiery angel that guarded Eden's gate will let you pass, for you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus has opened the way for you to the new Eden, the new heavens and new earth, the very paradise of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.